Welcome to Minnesota Circle. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Nicole.
Minnesota is filled with incredible gems, from the beautiful north shores of Lake Superior to the locally owned coffee shops where they greet you by name.
Join us each week as we highlight all the amazing things Minnesota has to offer. We interview local entrepreneurs and inspiring individuals, share hidden travel gems, events, and more.
We believe in the power of personal narratives and have a passion for making our communities feel more connected. At the end of each episode, we will also feature a song from a local musician.
All you need to know for Minnesotans on the go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Minnesota Circle. As always, we are so grateful you are listening. I think you're going to love this episode. And stick around to the end of the episode because we have a new song from a Minnesota artist, and the song is titled Seasons. And it is by the artist Brianna Kay. And another announcement, we have a fundraiser going on, and this fundraiser started on March 17th and it goes through April 30th, and we are partnering with Jen and Joe from Everybody Love Everybody, and we are collecting money and donations to help them serve the homeless population in Minneapolis. You can donate items, you can shop, and a portion of the profits will go to this organization, or you can donate funds, or you can volunteer. Check out our website or our social media at Minnesota Circle to find out more ways that you can get involved. And now on to the episode. We are speaking with Rima Parikh, and we're going to talk all about her new business, The Thinking Spot. And here's Rima. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Minnesota Circle. As always, thanks again for joining us. We are excited. We have Rima Parikh on today with us, and she is going to share all about her business and her journey. Rima, do you just want to kind of give us some, introduce yourself and give us some background?
Sure. So my name is Rima Parikh. I recently founded The Thinking Spot, science-focused bookstore and learning center here in Minnetonka. As far as my background, I have a computer science background. I worked in the IT industry here in the Minneapolis area for close to 30 years. Then a few years ago, started thinking about opening a bookstore when I retire, and just kind of thinking about it, but then when the pandemic hit, and sort of hit home that life is short, things can go wrong at any time. So, you know, why not take the plunge? And so that's what I decided to. I quit at the end of April last year, just getting up to close to a year now, and started working on this full time and opened at the end of November.
Yeah, and I really love your space. I mean, it's not, it's a bookstore, but there's so much more to it. And I'm excited to kind of talk about all the different elements of what you offer. And maybe we can start with why you decided to focus on science for your bookstore and for everything that's included.
Sure. Yeah, so, you know, the science part wasn't, it didn't come with the bookstore. So the bookstore idea was in my head for a long time. And then as I started to get, you know, started to think more strongly about it, like, okay, I'm going to open a bookstore. And then it was like, okay, what would be my niche, or what would be the theme of the bookstore? And then I went back to sort of my background, right? So I have this computer science background. Over the years, you know, my husband and I are both kind of readers of science-y technical books, and we have a big collection. And when I look back at our collection, you know, what I realized is that the books that I was mostly attracted to were ones that explained science with stories. So it kind of had this mix of storytelling, but also had something that you could learn. And science was always sort of my passion growing up. You know, all kinds of subjects I dabbled in, listening. And at one point I thought I'd be working in astronomy and space and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was always kind of that passion. And so as I looked into the books that I loved, that jumped out. The other thing that happened about the same time, maybe a couple years ago, 2018, 19, I ran into the work of Alan Alda. You may have heard of him or know of him from the series MASH back in the 70s, right? And I knew of him, I'd seen the series, loved the show. But then what I learned is I ran into a book, or I guess we had it on our shelves and I never read it, but I picked that up at some point. And I read his book called If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? And it was all about communication and science communication. And as part of that, I learned that he has this big sort of work around his to do science communication and help scientists communicate their work better. He has this Center for Communicating Science in New York, and he has a podcast and he's written books. And he used to host Scientific American Frontiers. I think it was in the 80s or 90s. There was a TV show and he hosted that for a long time. So I watched some of those. And that kind of inspired me, and that, you know, that idea of making science accessible and fun, and you know how he's always fun, no matter what he does, right? The humor he brings to everything. So that idea of making science fun and accessible to everybody kind of just hit home. And so then with the idea of the bookstore and then this, it kind of like, okay, yeah, that's it. That was my aha moment. This is what I want to do. If I can make just to do a little bit of what he does to make science fun and accessible for everyone, that would be amazing. So that's kind of what drew me to it.
Yeah, I love that too. Bringing science to everyone's level, making it approachable, making it not scary. Right. And your bookstore and learning center is so unique. I'd like to hear a little bit more about what makes the space so unique. Can you explain the different sections and offerings you have for people?
Yeah. So in addition to being a bookstore, right, there are a couple other pillars. So one is the books themselves, but I wanted it to be a place where people could just go and sort of take a step back and slow down, right? Part of my part of my reason for leaving the corporate world and the job that I was at was just the pace, right? It was just go, 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 nonstop. And it felt like everywhere and everybody. And it became even more so during the pandemic, right? With the Zoom calls, or you're on at 8 in the morning, you go until 6 in the evening and just nonstop, go, go, go. So I wanted a place where people could just kind of sit back, relax, like take some time to do some deeper thinking. And books allow you to do that, right? But that long form reading, when you're into a book, you know, it kind of drops, all those distractions drop off, right? And you can kind of focus on one thing and take that time. So I wanted a place that would reflect that. So it's not just a bookstore, but it also has these like spaces where you can sit and relax, pick up the book, and read a little bit, but you pick up something else, and just kind of this surrounded by books. So that's a places to hang out was one main thing. The third pillar of it was all these events and workshops that I want to do, right? I wanted to make it a place that brings in people from the community that are doing great work in science, technology, engineering, math, right? Makers, people have, it seems like there's everybody has something that they can offer. And so I can bring in people from the community to come and share what they know. That was one of my third kind of the goal of this place is, so it's books, it's a place to hang out, and it's a place where you can learn from other people in the community.
Yeah, I love all the mix of what you have, and it's really just like a really welcoming space that all ages can enjoy. Can you share a little bit more about the events that you provide? Because I saw some really great ones coming up, and just kind of the audience as you expected. So are there a variety of the kids events and adult events, or just kind of what can people expect from all these different offerings that you have?
Yeah, and I want to make sure that it's clear, right, that it's not just a kid's store or it's not just an adult store, right? It's for everybody, really. And sometimes, you know, when I was asked, like, okay, who's your target audience, right? And when I say everybody, I get that, right? That when you say everybody, it's really nobody. You need to have a target audience. But I'm like, no, no, it really is everybody. You know, I want to get to the kids, right? Get that excitement and fun of science into kids at a young age, but it really is for adults as well. And I have a big selection. My mix really is a 60% adult and 40% kids. So I want to make it clear to people that it even as an adult, you can engage with science, and it's not that you, once you're done being a kid, you're done with science, right? There's, that should be there, an ongoing, you know, lifelong kind of learning, engaging. But back to the events then. Yeah, so the events that we've had, you know, follows that same pattern, right? There'll be some kids events, there'll be some adult events, there's some speaker type things, there are some hands-on activities, workshops. So for example, we've done, our first event was with a math author. So there's this local author, Ben Orland, who has written several math books. And the way he writes it, he calls it math with bad drawings. And so he does these cartoon stick figures, and explains math concepts using those stick figure drawings. So it's really kind of just the perfect alignment of how I want to make science accessible, right? He was kind of making math accessible. So that was fun. He did, we had him come in and another math teacher, a high school math teacher that has taught our kids. So the two of them had a fun conversation about math. So we had like 30, 40 minutes of that. And then we had the audience play some math games as part of that. And then we did a book signing and Q&A and things. So that was our math event. There was one with kids where we did a local author, another local author, Liz Heineke. She has written several books, she's a very prolific writer, on STEM experiments to do with kids, with things you can find in your home. So she goes on television, you know, she's been on Twin Cities, TV, WCCO, what have you. She does these little segments and shares her work. So she came in, again, we had this conversation about her background, you know, how she got here, what she does. And then she had these stations set up and showed all kinds of fun science experiments. And then kids got to do it themselves. There were, you know, different stations set up, and you had kids running around doing different science experiments. So that was total fun. And then coming up this Saturday, we have a local theater group that does science-based theater. It's just two of them, but they travel all over the world and do these amazing science-based theater. And my son's a drama nerd, and we went to see their show back in 1920, I can't remember. And we loved it. And then since then, I know, kind of had this thing going, and I had reached out to them like, someday, you know, when I open this door, I'd love to have you come. And then they came to one of our events, and then we got to talking. And here we are, they're gonna do a full-length show on the life of Marie Curie, you know. And so we thought, okay, Women's History Month, this would be a perfect topic. They have a full-length show. And so we're gonna do that. They're gonna do that here on Saturday. So I'm super excited about that one. So it's, you know, it's a mix of all kinds of, and I have a big list of, I just published my April events. We have something coming every weekend in April, and working on my May and June events. It's been fun, you know, just meeting all these amazing people. They're right here in our backyard that are doing such great work. And they're all, you know, towards the same goal, right? Trying to make science fun and accessible to everybody.
Yeah, it really seems like you have such a wide variety of topics, a lot of STEAM, all the STEAM topics, yes, that you could want. You have the arts, engineering. Yes. I also saw that you did a 3D printing event, which I thought was really cool. I'm a former STEM teacher, so I was enjoying all the events that you had listed on your website.
You can come and do an event.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to. I'll have to get in touch with you. But how was the process? Like, take us from your idea to opening your shop. Was it quite a lengthy process? Did you have to look at several properties or spaces, or did it kind of just all fall into place?
Oh, no. It was a lengthy process. Yeah, so let's see. Been thinking about it since about 2019, right? It was kind of a slow pace at that time. It wasn't super deep into it, but about mid or early 2020 is when I started really getting into it. There is a bookseller association, American Booksellers Association, that supports independent bookstores. So, you know, people who have one or two, you know, bookstores, and they're just kind of not a chain bookstore, not an Amazon, obviously. So there is an association that helps that. So I signed up with them, and they had a lot of information about what it takes to be a bookstore. And so I did a lot of, you know, sessions with them. They had video, you know, obviously by that time, the pandemic, there was nothing in person, but a lot of online training. There's also Minnesota State Department has this SCORE program. It's for small business startup type a program to help them. And so I attended a lot of their seminars. I took a session that helped you kind of how to start a new business, because I'd never done anything like this before. So, you know, that all through 2020, that was going on. And then I think November, December 2020 is when I earnestly started looking for a space. And it took about 6-8 months, I think, by the time we signed the lease. It was August. So that, you know, just looking through different places in the Twin Cities. The other thing that helped is I also attended August 21, I attended a workshop for booksellers, again, how to open a bookstore in Florida. There's a group that does new bookseller sessions. And so I attended that. That was very helpful. They had a lot of information about, you know, different things within the bookselling industry, where to get your books, right? Starting from there to what else do you have in your bookstore, how to arrange them, what type of furniture is used specifically for bookstores, how to arrange that, you know, how do you display your books, that kind of stuff. So very helpful.
Yeah, and what made you decide on the Wayzata area? Was it just kind of what landed in your lap, or were you looking around that spot? Because I'm not really familiar with any other bookstores of that type, or even just bookstores really around in that area. So I'm just curious on why you chose that spot.
Well, so generally, as I was looking for a space for the bookstore, right, one of my main idea was that I did not want it to be, at least to start with, in sort of a downtown area. And typically, if you see independent bookstores, a lot of cities will have it in their main street. They'll have it on their sort of their downtown, which is, you know, the most popular populous areas, right? There's a lot more people coming. But the reason I wanted this in the suburb is because I always felt, right, like these science type facilities are always located in this downtown areas, and living in the suburb, you always had to make this effort, right? Go to the science museum, the works museum. You had to kind of, or a back end, right? You had to take a half day or a day to go there, and it always was such an effort. So I wanted it to be in a place where it was kind of like your neighborhood coffee shop, right? You run into it, and you don't have to make a special effort. It just is, and you, right, and you kind of run into this. You're going to a gym, and you have some extra time, and you can stop by. You're taking your kid to a soccer game or a dance class, and you have the other kid. You need some place to hang out. You go here and hang out for an hour, right? So that I wanted it to be a place that's accessible like that. And so I was looking more in the suburbs. Living in Eden Prairie, was looking at some place that's close to home, right? So I started looking out with Eden Prairie, Bloomington, and then started going out into the Minnetonka. I looked at Chanhassen, right? St. Louis Park, Hopkins. That was kind of my area, Edina, where I was looking. And then it was a matter of the right size and availability and the cost. It really came down to that.
And how has the community around the bookstore responded? Have you gotten a lot of positive feedback, or have they had favorite events that they've come to that they've told you about?
Yeah, I know. Everybody who has been in the store has loved it, and they've been very welcoming of, you know, hey, this is great. We love to have an independent bookstore in our neighborhood. I think Twin Cities in general is great. There are a lot of independent bookstores compared to, you know, some other cities. So it's a very welcoming community in general. The science theme, I feel like, tends to throw people off a little bit. And I do get sometimes that, oh, it's a science bookstore. That's not my thing. Once they get in there, everybody finds something they love. I mean, everybody's come in that I've had several people come in that are kind of skeptical. I'm not sure, you know, science is not my thing. I don't know that I only read fiction, right? That, you know, sort of coming in with that mindset. But then they start looking and they, oh, wait, you know, you have this book. I like that, right? Or I like to read about nature or butterflies or a fungus or, oh, COVID, you know, we have a whole section on COVID and everybody wanted to know something about COVID. So, you know, everybody ends up finding something, but I feel like there is a little bit of hesitation to step in to the store just because of the science. So it's probably going to take a little bit to get the word out, to get people to understand what it is. And even people who like science were kind of skeptical, I feel like, before they got in there. They look, because when you say again science book, there really isn't anything like this. And so when you say science bookstore, maybe textbooks come to mind, maybe kids come to mind. And so people aren't sure what to expect. But once they come in, then they're all on board. So that's the part that's encouraging to me. I just have to figure out how to get the message out better so that they don't feel intimidated walking in.
Yeah. And do you have any favorite science books or favorite books in your store for kids and adults that you could recommend to listeners?
Sure, I have lots.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you have too many.
So my recent favorite, I mean, there's a few, but last year's favorite was a book called Why Fish Don't Exist. And it's a short book. It's by this Lulu Miller is the author. She's the host of Radio Lab on NPR. And she wrote about this person that is responsible for naming most of the fish that we know of today. So he was a big taxonomist. And turns out he was also the first president of Stanford University. And so not knowing anything about this person, right? I go into this book and she starts talking about person is obsessed with fish and obsessed with naming them and then turns into this, oh my God, he was the first president of Stanford, right? And then his story, but then in parallel with it is her own sort of autobiographical story. So it's this intermingling of her story and this person's story, and there's this ups and downs, and it almost reads like a thriller and a mystery, and it's just fabulous. I loved it. And I, you know, from the moment I started, I couldn't put it down. So that was one of my favorites from 21. Recent one I read is Project Hail Mary. I finally got around to that by Andrew Weir. That was, again, another awesome book from him. I'm a little bit of a space nerd. So I love space books. And this is a fiction that, you know, he kind of very realistic fiction. You know, and I love that kind of fiction that's hopeful, that's realistic, and it kind of shows you the future as it can be. This is, you know, kind of a dystopian futuristic sci-fi, so I tend to lean towards more hopeful and the happier sci-fi. You'll find that more in my store. So those were some of my favorites on the adult side. Children's book, there was a recent one that won the Newbery Award. I think it's called The Last Quintista. I have not personally read it, but I've read the story and I want to read it. It's about this person who, the girl and her grandmother, she is like the last person left to save humanity from disaster. And she has to go out in space and to a different planet and save Earth and humans. So that seems like a really fascinating story. On the little kids side, there's so many. But the section I love most in the kids side is all these biographies of great people who have done work in science. And it's people that are not normally kind of talked about or, you know, popular. But, you know, here's this paleontologist or an eye doctor or, you know, somebody who was an astronaut or wanted to be an astronaut. You know, just these everyday people, but they've done great work. So not, you know, you have your standard, the Marie Curie and, you know, those that are famous, but then these are all these not so famous people that have done great, great work. And there's this just, you know, little perfect size biography. So that, those are my, that's my favorite section. And the,
yeah. It makes me think of like The Martian is one of those like really fun like space books that my husband loves.
Is his newest book, the same author.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's fun to kind of see like how he came up with how this was plausible and all that. So, and one thing I especially love about your space and what you offer is that it's run by a woman. A woman in science is so needed, and it just should be shown and highlighted more. So I just love that. And that you also have, you know, these biographies there of all different types of people. And I just think it's a really great example for a young child that's looking to, you know, see what they can do in life. Like you don't have, they don't have to go down the certain path. They can go into science and there's just so much to explore. So I'm really glad that you have that and that you have created this space. And something that I saw on your website that just sounded kind of fun is you offer these like game nights, family game nights, and then it looks like it's part of a membership. So can you share a little bit about what those game nights look like, what type of games are there, and then maybe what's involved in the membership?
Sure, yeah. So I have not started the game nights yet, but I plan to do that real soon here. So we are going to kick that off with math game night with the same author that came before, Ben Orland. He's going to come in, and he just has a new book come out called Math Games with Bad Drawings. So he has all kinds of fun math games in there. You know, there's like an ultimate tic-tac-toe in there and all kinds of other fun games. So he's going to come in and we're going to do a game night with the games that are in his book. So that'll be sort of a kickoff of our game night series. But then going forward, I plan to stay open. So my normal hours are 10 to 6 Monday or Wednesday through Sunday, but I plan to stay open Friday evenings from like 6 to 8 for just, you know, people to come in and be able to play games. So in addition to those games, I will have board games available. So, you know, some examples would be in, and it's the board games I want to get to more kind of have that science theme to it, but not necessarily all of them. So more, it might even have some strategy type games to just, you know, something to get you away from the screen, get you thinking and have fun and all the entire family again. So we have things like Catan, Ticket to Ride. So those would be more of your strategy games, Spotted, Sequence, Quirkle, that's more of a tile game that kids can play with. And then I also have, there's another Minnesota company that has created this game called the Turing Tumble. You've heard of them. But that is sort of a marble-based mechanical computing game. So it teaches kids sort of the mechanics behind how computers work without actually being a computer. They call it the mechanical computer. And so it's a really fun way, you know, you have these problems you have to solve, right? You have to get, you know, pattern of marbles, for example, right? You got to get one red and two blue or one red and seven blue, whatever, right? And through these, you have to create these patterns to make the marbles come out the way they ask. So anyway, so they sent me a sample copy of their game. And so we're going to have that available for people to play with. And and then membership wise, the idea was that there are kind of two types of membership. That's another thing I'm still trying out, so haven't quite pushed out. We're doing some beta test type testing with our close circle, you know, friends and family. But so the one level of membership would be around the game, right? So you'd be able to come in and borrow these games and play in store. And then in addition to that, you get a certain percentage discount for your purchases. So that would be like one level of monthly membership. And then the second level, which would be a level up, is that plus I'm trying out sort of a book subscription model. Because I'm also hearing from a lot of people that they love reading, right? And especially if they're very heavy readers, tend to collect a lot of books and run out of space in the home, right? I had that problem. Like always have stacks and stacks everywhere, right? And it's overwhelming. And so one of the thoughts was, well, if you don't really think you're going to reread this book or you don't want to keep it, is there an option to just come back and after you're done, return, right? And then keep borrowing. So sort of that early Netflix model where you could get one DVD at a time, right? So I'm trying that out. You can pick one book at a time. When you're done, bring it back. You can pick another book. Unlimited, you know, as many if you want. Come back every day and pick a different book. Go for it, right? And so again, a monthly fee. And you can get as many books as you want as long as you bring it back in good condition.
Yeah. Oh, I really love that because I'm so hesitant to buy books for the exact reason you were describing. I don't like them sitting all around my house and I'm probably not going to reread it. So then I try to get it from the library, but the good ones have a long wait. And so then you're like, oh, what do I do? Yeah, so
And I'm hoping that this is because it is a very special curated selection that you will not find anywhere else. Right? You're not going to find these books in Barnes & Noble, not finding it at your library, not this extensive collection of science books, right? Sure, you can find them at Amazon, but you got to go look for it, right? And you really want to support Amazon, right?
Right. Yeah. Besides for the game nights, I know you're trying to get those up and running and you're trying to get the membership possibly running in the future. Do you have any other things in the works or goals that you'd like to work on for the future for your store?
So the biggest thing is the events, right? If my goal is if I can have one every weekend, there's something going on. That would be the goal. So that's my biggest focus right now. And then at some point, I want to be able to get to a place where I can hire people, like start to bring in that community and help, and then be able to expand more. Right now, it's just me, so kind of limited by the amount of time I have.
Yeah.
But hoping that at some point we can get to the place where I can start to get help. I want to bring in high school kids and kind of encourage that, you know, sharing mentality too, right? So that people are coming in, not just as, you know, it's a job, but that's something that they can connect with, engage with, love doing, right? Reading, writing, helping people find things that they love or they could, that others could love. So trying to bring in that young adults.
Yeah, it sounds like a really great space for all different, like I said, all different ages. And you also have these little like breakout rooms or kind of like individual rooms you can rent or go and spend some time just reading your book and relax. So I'm really glad that you offer that as well. So if people are listening and want to participate in some of these classes or events and maybe go and check out your book collection, can you share first your website, where people can find you, and the best way to stay involved?
Sure. So website has all the details. It's www.thinkingspot.us. And I also have an somewhat active Facebook, Instagram, social media follow me there. And I do post on LinkedIn and Twitter less often than Facebook. But those are kind of my four main channels. So stop on over, keep an eye out on the website or sign up for the newsletter and push event information mostly to people to say some events coming up in the next couple of weeks and some new releases and books, things like that. So sign up for the newsletter, look at the website, stuff.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was really fun to hear about your store and I can't wait to check out your space.
Yeah, still. Thank you so much for having me on. It's very helpful. It's great talking to you.
Yes, thank you, Rima. I'm looking forward to bringing my kiddos over and maybe try one of those game nights because I love board games. So it's right up my alley.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Looking for more ways to learn all about the incredible things Minnesota has to offer? Follow us on social media at Minnesota Circle or subscribe to our newsletter at themncircle.com.
If you wish to have a song featured on the podcast, please contact us. Loved this episode? Then subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Join us next time and enjoy the music.
Changes.